Can I go back and read verse 11, praise God, and 12? He says that, put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He goes on to say, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against rules of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So he identified who the enemy really is. The enemy is the devil.
Yes, he is, Pastor.
And his fellow apostle, Peter, praise God, also helps us to identify who he is, because if you turn to 1 Peter 5:8, Peter reminds us that we ought to be sober, praise God, and that we ought to be vigilant.
Yes, sir.
He said, because your adversary,
yes, sir.
And he said, the devil, praise God, he who is as a roaring lion, seeketh and he walketh about,
yes,
seeking whom he may devour.
Amen.
Amen. I want to remind us today, praise God, that my brothers and my sisters, that our real adversary, our real enemy, praise God, is the devil, and we have to be prepared to fight in this spiritual warfare every day of our lives. Somebody say, well, he might be the devil, but it was my neighbor who called me a name.
Yeah. Yeah.
But can I straighten something out here? I need to straighten something out to all groups of people who are here today. I want to say to the old people, praise God, sickness and disease is not your enemy. The devil is your enemy. I want to say to the not so old, praise God, that your boss on your job is not your enemy. The devil is your enemy. I need to say to these young adults, those who are in college and those who are in high school, it's not your college professor, it's not your teacher, it's not the principal who's the enemy. Praise God. The devil is the enemy. And I got to say to those who are real young, who are not able to be in school, or they might be in elementary school, your parents are not your enemy. Praise God, the devil is your enemy. And the devil will use things that will get to every last one of us. I don't care how sanctimonious you may think you are. Amen. You see, our text says that the devil uses a thing that called wow. You know what that word wow from is? A Greek word that means methodi, which really means deceit.
Yeah.
Which merely means craftiness, really means trickery, really means methods. It really means the strategies, praise God, that Satan will use to wedge his wall against each and every last one of us. Praise God, he will do everything that he can to divide and to deceive and to capture the believer. Praise God. And this includes sending false teachers to trick and to deceive believers. Praise God. Because he said, I remember Jesus saying in John 10:10, he said, a thief cometh but to rob, to steal, and to destroy. Praise God. But I come that they may have life, and they might have it more abundantly. So you see, the strategies of Satan was to wedge his wall against the believer, praise God, and it was meant to steal, it was meant to kill, and it was meant to destroy every last one of us.
Yes, sir.
Praise God, we are in a battle. We are in a battle. We are in a battle. Amen. Somebody said, well, what are some of the ways that Satan will do this? Well, I'm glad you asked. You see, for example, hey man, one of the strategies that he uses to he appeal to the lust of the eyes. Oh yeah, yeah. If a believer is weak in a certain area, Satan will see to it that something crosses his eyes, her eyes. Praise God, and something that will be appealing to the flesh or to the pride of life. Praise God. It could be some delicious food. Amen. Somebody say, why in the world food?
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
Greetings, brothers and sisters in Christ. Welcome to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville. Dr. Carl Armstead, Sr., pastor. Join our pastor as he preaches and teaches the Word of God.
The Gospel according to St. Matthew. Thank God for Reverend and Hood and Reverend Smith and Reverend Minister of Music, who's always on his job. Amen. Doing a fine job with our choir, Reverend Coleman. And to all of you who are present, we thank God for you. In the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, I want to read a few verses, 1-9, and in your spare time, you can read 18-23. It says, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who hath an ear, let him hear. The grass withers and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Father God, we come again thanking you for everything that has gone on thus far. We ask that you just allow your Holy Spirit to continue to move freely in our midst. And then we ask that you grant us a fresh anointing of your Spirit. And then that anointing grant us preaching power. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise. It is in the strong and mighty name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord, we pray and thank you. Amen. Amen. For a little while this morning, I want to talk from the subject, the parable of the four soils. The parable of the four soils. Let me begin by saying that Jesus Christ was a master teacher. In other words, he had a unique ability to take scenes from everyday life and use them to teach profound spiritual truths. Such is the case in this parable that is usually called the parable of the sower. But the main thrust of the parable is not about the sower, but about the soil that the sower sowed or planted his seed. And so this morning I want to talk from that subject, the parable of the soils. Now the scene of our text takes place by the seaside as Jesus sat teaching. And we know that he began by talking about an image in which everyone present was familiar with. He talked about a man sowing seed in a field. And no doubt as they sat listening to him teach, they were able to picture in their minds a man casting the seed upon the earth. And as he did, the seed fell upon four different kinds of soil. Now some of the seed fell on good ground and brought forth fruit. My brothers and sisters, Jesus used this common image to teach those who heard him about the condition of the human heart. Now the sower is the Holy Spirit, the seed is the gospel, and the soil is the human heart, which is like the soil of the earth. Because the human heart can receive the seed of the gospel and still produce nothing of value to the glory of God. And so this morning, as we investigate this parable, I want to preach for a while about the parable of the sows. Now, as we move through the verse of our text, I would ask each of you to examine your own heart to see what kind of soil you are. Because it may be that the Lord will have a word for your life this morning. And so let's look for a little while at the parable of the soil as I raise three important things from the text in your hearing, and I'll let you alone. And so first of all, let's look at the plan of the sower. Well, the sower in this parable is a man who goes into the field and with the intention of raising a crop and gleaning a harvest. In other words, he expects to reap a harvest from the seed he's sowing. Now, my brothers and sisters, such is the case of the Lord God, because God sent his Son into the world to die for the sins of the world, and his Holy Spirit into the world to convict folk of their sins. Are you with me? So that he might reap a spiritual harvest to the glory of his name. For the Bible says in John 16:8, and he, talking about the Holy Spirit, has come to convict the world of sin. And so just as a bountiful harvest brings riches and honor to the farmer, so does the salvation of souls bring glory to the name of God. After all, the only reason God does anything, including saving souls, is for the glory of his name. But even though the plan of God to save the lost soul is for his glory, I still praise God for the fact that he has provided a perfect plan to save by grace those who believe in his son Jesus. And that's why if you are saved this morning, you ought to praise his name because of the fact that he sent his son Jesus into this world to die for your sins and to raise him up 3 days later, so that in spite of our sinful condition, he loved you and extended his grace to you to save your soul. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so the plan of the sower, or the Holy Spirit, is to sow the seed of the gospel, or the word of God, into the hearts of men so that he can reap a harvest of saved souls. Secondly, the text reveals the potential of the seed. My brothers and sisters, let me say that every seed that was sown by the sower had the potential of producing much more than the seed. Verse 8 and 23 bears this out. In other words, one little seed had the potential to multiply. We note in verse 8, it says, still some fell on the fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Now, those of you who have ever planted a garden have seen this principle in action. In other words, you can plant one little bean seed on fertile soil, and that seed will reap many beans. With a pod containing several more seeds, amen, that you planted. And not only that, you can plant a corn seed, just one of them, and watch it produce a plant that will use several ears of corn, each containing many rows of fresh seed. The seed has a potential to reproduce itself many times over. Well, such is the seed of the gospel of grace, because when it's sown in a ready heart, it will germinate and it will reproduce itself over and over again. Because when the gospel finds a lodging place in the heart, that has been plowed by the word of God and till by the grace of God. I tell you, Brother Jones, it would germinate and leave that heart